Good morning, good afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
Alexander Rubidosis.
Who's gonna do? Okay, the Honorable Mr. David Neal will serve as your lead, sir, so just hold on, sir.
Okay.
Alright, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you.
Alright, will you state your complete name and ADC number for record, please?
Alexander Rubidosis, ADC number 286850.
Okay, sir, you're attorney for the Honorable Board of Executive Commission this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To my very far right, the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his left, the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. And there is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is the board chairman. And to my left is the Honorable Rick Anonis. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have the esteemed Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, we received a notification from the advisory of a hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so for?
Yes, sir.
I do.
So, sir, you're hearing the conduct in two phases today. In phase one, you'll determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. And if they have been violated, in phase two, you will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. In phase one, what I'm going to do is read the two allegations that are on the warrant. After each one, I'd like you to tell me whether it's true or false. If it's false, we'll get some information, more information from Mr. Turner, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay.
The allegation number one is a violation of the condition of supervision number seven as demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about January 29, 2018 per the TAF GCMS 5 report dated February 1st, 2018. That true or false, sir?
That's true, sir.
The allegation number two is a violation of the condition of supervision number two as demonstrated by your failure to file the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to the Maricopa Reentry Center on or about February 4, 2018, and verbally written directed by or on February 1st, 2018. You were last known earlier, thus you were absconded from supervision. That's true or false, sir?
That's true, sir.
Okay, based on the admissions of Mr. Delphine, I'm going to find that he was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapses or without lapses in criminal ways or company.
Second?
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright, agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Johnson. Okay, sir, we're going to move to phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Turner is going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Del Cid was released from ADC custody on 1-26-2018 and arrested on 6-1-2018 by Yuma PD. No new charges noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 6-1-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 10-25-2018 with 120 abscondes. Current conviction, 2015, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. Prior convictions, 2012, theft means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2013, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4-4, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. STG information, suspected New Mexican Mafia member of Arizona, and he self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Okietown, Yuma, Arizona. Prior terms of supervision, 2014, TIS release, absconded for 23 days, arrested in California, revoked by VODC. Disciplinary is significant with fraud, possession, manufacturing, intoxicants. drugs, possession of communication device, promoting contraband, and fighting dope. Under arrest, 2012, armed robbery, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2013, DUI liquor, drugs, vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Has a GV score of G6, V7.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner, before we run, the release date you gave, I have 10/13/2018.
Yeah. Let me double check. I'm showing 10/25.
You're showing 10/25?
10/25/18.
Okay. Because it was written on top of the warrant.
Yeah, on the warrant, it's the 13th.
I see that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they do the final audit, it changes.
Yeah. I realize that. I just hate to throw out, especially in the earlier date, that it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Duffy, we were discussing some information that was on here, and what was it just written on there in file when we transcribed that from the computer. Okay, we're going over a summary of the case written this time. So it shows that January 26, 2018, you were released to community supervision from Iman, and we didn't have an approved placement. During initial intake, housing options were discussed, and you were directed to reside at TLC at 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona. You failed to provide any additional addresses for investigation prior to absconding. So did you go to TLC and stay there until you absconded, sir?
Well, yes, sir. Well, I went there, and when I had got there, before I had got released from ADC, I had told my CO3, I was in the hole on 805, and I told my CO3 a month prior to this, can I sign my conditions of release and give you my addresses, and he said, I don't have time right now for that, and I said, well, I have a month left, so 2 weeks before I'm about to get released, he brings me my conditions. And when my conditions are brought to me, I ask him, can I give you my two addresses so I can be paroled to? And he said, it's too late for the addresses. I put down that you're homeless. And I told him, why am I putting that I'm homeless when I have family I can go to? And then, well, that's when they brought me another set of conditions of release, and there was stating that I had to be at TLC. It was like an extra like two sets of conditions, and I had to go to TLC. So I went to TLC, and I didn't like the environment. There was a lot of drugs being used there. People were selling drugs out of TLC. I didn't like the environment. So I told my parole officer, if he can put me with my sister in Tempe, Arizona, and he said that I had to stay there for at least 30 days. I have a very, very bad drug problem with methamphetamine. So I ended up using meth there, and then they wanted to UA me at TLC, and they UA'd me. I was dirty for methamphetamine, and they kicked me out of the program. And the next day, I went to go report to my parole officer, to Mr. Crumpleman, on the Northeast Parole. I went to go report to him the very next day, and that's when everything just, that's when he sent me to the retreat center, and I didn't go to the retreat center. I left, I absconded. I came back to Yuma, I got a job working at the salad farm out here, you know, and like, everything like crumbled down for me at the end, you know, like, I was trying to do good, I was wanting to do good, you know. And I felt like I didn't get the opportunity to do good, you know, like, and so I just left. I went on the run and came back to Yuma.
Okay, so, well, yeah, it looks like it started downhill the minute you got out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, you can't, you know, you can't get an approved residence until they do an investigation. That's why normally you can't say, well, can I go through here? And then say right away that you can. They have to check it out first because they don't know who's living there. If there's another convict living there, you can. Victims from your crimes, whatever, they have to investigate that. So that's why they'll put you somewhere for 30 days or if you don't have an address for you to go. And I don't know if there was a problem and misunderstanding before you released as far as getting that done, but you know, your PO is working with what he's got. But it looks like 3 days after you got out, you were dirty.
Yeah, and I had told Mr. Crumpleman, I had told him,
Sir, whose fault is that? It's not Mr. Crumpleman's, it's not DOC, it's your fault.
Hey, it is my fault. I had told Mr. Crumpleman, I told him, look, sir, because I got out on a Friday and I had a job at UA Monday, and I told him, you know, Mr. Crumpleman, check, I have a dirty UA. He said, okay, we him got that all figured out. We got that all figured out. He was gonna give me some counseling classes. I said, okay. Well, when it came down to TLC jumping UA on me, they UA'd me and then instantly they just kicked me out. That was like 10 o'clock in the night and I had nowhere to go and I had to sit outside by a Family Dollar. I'm not from Phoenix, and I was like, I'm sitting out here in the cold, not knowing what to do, and I have to wait to get home to my sister. And I told Mr. Crumpleman, like, I told him, look, this environment is negative for me. I don't like it. I don't like the environment at TLC. Is there another placement you can send me? And, like, while I wait until my addresses are approved. And he said, well, I can send you to the retreat center. And I didn't report to the retreat center. And so that would be my fault. You know, that would be my fault. Okay. And...
Well, MRC is a great place. We talk to people that go through that program a lot, and they all say the same thing, that it works real well, it's good.
That's something I want to try.
Well, but you have an opportunity. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you this time. No questions. Okay, so where did you live in your hearing?
Mr. Turner, let's go.
Oh, Mr. Turner has some more information.
Yeah, I'd like to read an update that was posted on MS on 6/1/2018. It states, Yuma police were actively seeking offender for an aggravated assault when at 0124 hours they received a call that a subject was attempting to break into a convent in Yuma. There were two nuns present in the convent during this event. Yuma police arrived and located offender Del Cid with a serious injury to his hand requiring medical attention. Offender was transported to Yuma Regional Medical Center for treatment. However, Yuma Regional Medical Center was unable to treat the injuries and the offender was airlifted to St. Joe's Hospital in Phoenix. Offender was combined with police in Yuma and hospital medical staff on the helicopter, resulting in notification being made to the hospital from the inboard air vac. And Phoenix Police Officer Sergeant DeCosta, working security at the hospital, notified FSU staff that this offender was found to have an active ADC warrant. Additionally, he pulled an officer from patrol to assist with this offender due to the violence that had occurred. He also requested ADC staff for security.
So Yuma is actively seeking him?
I don't have anything, but at that point in time that he was found attempting to break into the convent, they were actively seeking him for an aggravated assault, but I can't find anything that there's any charge
going at that time. Okay, sir. So it sounds like you might have gotten some trouble where you were scoundrel.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, okay, if this is really needed in your hearing, sir, the board will be going to discuss and make a determination in a minute, but we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think might be pertinent to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat the information that you've already given us.
I just would like to get another opportunity to the drug counseling so I can, I have a baby on the way, and I just, I really wanted to do good. I don't want to be in prison anymore. Like I said, I had a job, you know. I just want to go back to the streets, and I would just like another opportunity to be with my family and get drug counseling before it's really too late for me and there's no more help, and before something very bad happens, you know. I just would like help. I would really like help, and I'm willing to do whatever I gotta do, and I will do it. I really will do it. I have a baby on the way, and I need to be there for that baby as a grown man, and not as a convict, as a prisoner anymore. And I would really like that chance and that opportunity.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be in discussion now to make a determination. We're talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we're not. We'll be discussing the case. But we ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent. We can have a whole conversation, and once we've made a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. The board is now in discussion. Well, this one is definitely an unfortunate one. Mr. Duck said, very, very young. He's already been in trouble with some major offenses, and then he had TIS obesity and scandal. He says that he wants to straighten out everything, but he doesn't seem to be able to make the decision to do it. And he asked for help, but he had time that he could have seeked help when he was out, but he's then gotten more trouble. But 120 of scound days, I couldn't be comfortable in returning to the community supervision at this time. Anyway, that really there was just an discussion with many of my fellow board members. Okay, well, based on the information in warrant number 2018W0361, Mr. Delsin's testimony, and the information given to us by the Department of Corrections, we will revoke community supervision of Mr. Delsin if he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or about to lapse in the criminal rules of the company.
Second.
Agree.
Agree. Myself, second one, Mr. Morales, overviewed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Wright, Dr. Keith. All right, Mr. Del Silva, the board has voted to revoke community supervision at this time. You only have till the end of October, and you'll be done with the Department of Corrections. However, whatever was going on with that facility at the convent may cause you other problems. But if that goes away, or they didn't time serve, or anything else like that, where there's no additional time in prison, you will be scheduled to be released by October 25th, 2018. We suggest you make a good plan between now and then. Partake of any programming you can get inside, especially the NA and the AA classes. And get a good plan so that when you get out and you don't get involved with the Department of Corrections again, you behave yourself and you can take care of that son that you're expecting the baby. Okay?
Okay, so is there anything to say that I have extra charges?
Well, they said there was something going on. If you got in trouble with you while you absconded, and we don't know what the disposition of it is.
Is this a pending charges?
We don't know. We only know that there was a problem and that you ended up, I guess you went to the hospital and stuff, but it doesn't say whether at this point in time you will still have any desire to talk to you or not.
Okay.
All right, so would you put the CO3 back in the phone, please, sir?
Yes, sir.